How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King, here today to take your questions via Twitter using the hashtag Rain and Jays. We've got a lot of questions that popped up over the last few minutes. Jay put out the last minute call for questions and you guys answered. So thank you for doing that. Questions about trades, questions about free agents, and so on and so forth. And of course, some fun questions. So, and this is going to be, normally we're here Monday through Friday, but this is Thanksgiving week. So, Jay.
We want to chill, man. We want some family time. We don't get much family time.
So take Thursday, Friday off.
We're going to take a couple days, and Thursday and Friday is going to be podcast list. So, you won't hear from us about the Celtics crushing the Nets, and you won't hear from us about the Celtics having an off day on Thanksgiving. So sorry there about you go. That, but enjoy all your food. I know I will.
Yeah, absolutely. So this will be it. Just three podcasts this week. You're going to have to spend time with your family, folks. We're not going to give you the excuse to get away. So with that, let's get right into it. The hashtag is Rainin' Jays, no G, Rainin' Jays. And our first question, let's see, at Swarble Flop.
Swarble Flop.
Swarble Flop.
I love Twitter names, man. Every time I just love Twitter names. Just
love them. How long do you think we can realistically go without seeing Gerald Green play a meaningful minute? No Gerald Green in that Minnesota game. When's the last time Gerald Green played?
Once they got healthy, Gerald Green. Sorry, bro.
Relegated to the bench.
I would be surprised if he plays much. There might be a game like Stevens is desperate for offense and decides to go with Gerald Green. But other than that, their rotation is just too deep. And Jaylen Brown has obviously earned some minutes. Terry Rozier has earned some minutes, and Gerald Green really did nothing to stake a claim for those minutes. He was going to have to wrestle those minutes away from Jaylen Brown because Jaylen Brown's the rookie. Jaylen Brown's the guy who's going to be with the Celtics long term, and Gerald Green just didn't do it. So, I mean, he played some minutes against the Warriors. Wasn't completely atrocious, I guess, but he didn't have a great start to the season. Didn't do enough, in my eyes, to force his way into the rotation.
No, I agree. I think the rotation, we know who the starters are with Thomas, Bradley, Crowder, Horford, and Amir Johnson. The rest of, off the bench, you've got Smart and Olynyk, the first two off of the bench. And then after that, you're going to Rozier. So that's your eight-man rotation.
Brown and Jerebko.
Yeah, and then Jaylen Brown and Jonas Jerebko, that's 10. And then after that, it's desperation time. Then Tyler Zeller will get a couple of minutes because sometimes Kelly Olynyk just plays really soft and struggles. Then you get down to – that's where the Gerald Green – so we could go, if healthy – we could go the rest of the season without him playing a meaningful minute. So he might get garbage time minutes, but realistically, I think there'll be games where Brad Stevens is desperate and he'll turn to him. So I think that's about it.
And
so
there'll be times when there'll be injuries and he'll get in there, but he really wasn't that impressive. He didn't score efficiently. He didn't hit threes. So he was going to have to do those things to force his way into the rotation, and he just hasn't done enough. So Sorry, Gerald.
That's it.
You're relegated to the bench, man.
Best contribution Gerald Green has had this season is his hair with the shamrock at the beginning of the season.
That was a hell of a contribution.
It was good. Memorable.
That might be team MVP.
Didn't that get him on the mystery machine for the hair alone?
It should have if it didn't.
All right. Couple of trade questions here. Let's start with Anthony Morales. Should the Celtics try to trade Olynyk now that he forgot how to play basketball? We touched on this a little bit a couple of days ago in our Monday show. I guess critical of Olynyk over this past week because it doesn't seem like he's been aggressive. I want to maybe give him a little benefit of the doubt. Someone tweeted me, he is coming off of that shoulder injury. It's possible that that's playing a role. I just don't see him with that level of aggression, though, that's necessary. But I'll let you make the point again. You made a great point about the Celtics and their cap space when it comes to trading Olynyk.
Yeah, and first of all, I think that shoulder injury probably has more of a role in his struggles than people understand. You know, when Avery Bradley came back from that, he told me, Ty Lue said he told me I was going to shoot terribly, and I didn't believe him, and then I started shooting terribly, and I went to Ty Lue and I said, yeah, you were right, man. Ty Lue back then was a Celtics assistant, so having shoulder surgery and then coming back, not just the fact that it was his shooting shoulder and, you know, he's still trying to regain stamina in that, but he wasn't in game shape. You know, first for all of training camp, he was in non-contact stuff and it took him a long time. So I'm giving him a pass right now on some of the struggles. Obviously he hasn't been sharp. He hasn't been nearly as impactful as he was the last couple of seasons. But there's a long history of Kelly Olynyk being a positive player. And obviously he's not the most physical player, even in the best of scenarios, but he does a lot of things to help you. He spreads the floor. He's smart defensively. Sam.
Shout out to positional
Sam
defense.
Loves that Kelly Olynyk positional defense. But yeah, the last couple of weeks have been rough for him, and some of that, I mean, him guarding Karl Anthony Towns is probably not ever going to be the greatest matchup. But yeah, and as far as looking to trade him, you know, the only reason to me is that you would trade him is for somebody who's better, and to me he's a very valuable role player, especially once he gets healthy again, fully healthy. And so it'd have to be better than him. And you're not going to take on any future cap space. He's in the last year of his contract. He's going to be a restricted free agent after this season. And it's possible, based on how the cap is lining up, that the Celtics won't be able to keep him next year in order to open up maximum cap space. If they can get one of those guys, whether it's Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin, whoever else, then they might not be able to keep Kelly Olynyk. So adding someone and adding more salary in the future is not a good idea, not something they want to do. Obviously, they're trying to clear that max cap space and go after a top free agent. That's been one of their goals for years, and they're going to continue to do that. So I don't think Olynyk's going anywhere regardless. It's just he's got to get healthy and he's got to get back into the flow, and hopefully he can do that soon because he's been a good, especially last year, he was really good, and he just hasn't been producing at that level the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I will back off a little bit, having gone back and looked at the games again a little bit and taking a breath and really considering that he has been hurt, obviously, and he hasn't been playing with Horford or Crowder, and his role was he came off the bench, then he was a starter. Now he's back off the bench. So a little bit of upheaval there for him. So I will back off on my Olynyk criticism. Not to say that I'm not correct in that he's not playing well. It's that I'll let the team kind of gel with all of its pieces in place and let Olynyk kind of get back into the swing of things. However, I will say that he is sort of my prime target as a potential trade because of that collective bargaining agreement. And some of the changes that are rumored, no one knows for sure, but they are rumored that the cap hold, which for those of you who don't know, it's kind of an imaginary figure that is placed on a team's salary cap for a player that they have that they can retain, different percentages for different players in different situations. But what it does, it's a hold, a placeholder. So you can't just say, I have Kelly Olynyk's bird rights, I'm going to sign everyone else and fill up my roster and then go back and sign Kelly Olynyk up so I can go over the cap. They put a hold there to kind of prevent you from doing that. It's a theoretical salary. Now, the thing that we're worried about is that cap hold could go way up. And that means the Celtics would have to make a decision on Olynyk first, as opposed to going out and signing a free agent and then making the decision on Olynyk. So that would change the entire dynamic. And if that hold is a significant number, they'll have to potentially cut him loose and lose him for nothing. So that's why I think Olynyk is a candidate, not necessarily that he will be traded, but is a candidate to get traded. We know that Danny Ainge wants to sign a free agent, but he's also obviously willing to make a trade. And if a trade scenario pops up, Olynyk is a desirable guy. And if a team with a different cap situation wants to take him and make the qualifying offer and make him a restricted free agent, then by all means, they could go do that. So that's my thinking with Kelly Olynyk. But I agree, it's probably not going to happen, and we'll probably have to come to the summer before a decision is made on him. So
yeah, and who knows? Any of these guys, they could get packaged in a deal, and the Celtics could swing a big deal for whoever's out there. But right now, no. I would suspect Kelly Olynyk is staying around, and at some point in the season, he'll snap back into the guy he was last year. So be patient with Kelly Olynyk. He will get better this year. His shoulder will come back. He'll start to be more aggressive. He won't always be this hesitant. So I think there should be more patience with it. It's so funny to me how quickly people turn on Olynyk. And I think it's because he can look like awkward and uncoordinated sometimes. And I guess when he screws up, it really doesn't look good. Like, there was that play, I think it was in the first quarter, and I think Rich LaVine took a vine of it and tweeted it out.
Yeah, that was bad.
Shot went up, and Olynyk, instead of boxing out, he, like, ran behind the Timberwolves player. I think it was Towns.
It was Towns, yeah.
Like it was almost like he was hiding from the rebound. it was just a really ugly-looking play. And Olynyk has those from time to time, and I think that's why people turn on him so quickly, because he's not that Marcus Smart type guy who is going to, like, throw his body in there and make all these winning, like, obvious loud plays for you. His impact is more subtle, so I think people kind of overreact to his struggles and don't really appreciate what he does unless he's sinking, you know, 4 or 5 3-pointers in a game and scoring a lot of points. I think a lot of his real contributions are more subtle than that, and people just kind of overlook it. The swings on Kelly are so funny, man. People get really mad at Kelly on Twitter. He might be, like, the most harshly judged player on Twitter. Him or Zeller? Poor Zeller.
poor Tyler Zeller. That there's a drinking game moment right there. Poor Tyler Zeller. Drink. All right. Yep. Yeah. So we'll see.
Drink again.
It is interesting, though, because we're coming up. It's, you know, Thanksgiving is here in a couple of days, and that means we're a couple of weeks away from really the first deadline coming along in the NBA where guys who were signed over the summer can start to get traded. So mid-December is the first real honest-to-goodness batch of trade rumors that are going to start popping up. So I'm not saying
trade rumor.
There you go. So who knows what's going to come up. Lots of guys there's going to be rumors about lots of guys. So, and we're getting those questions, man. People love to ask these questions. At for the win with two O's, is there any trade scenario that you would give up Jaylen Brown? Which
sure,
yeah,
sure, but I will say this:
got to be a good one.
It's got to be a good one because Jaylen Brown, I've got some faith that that kid is going to become a good player. I don't know. Again, like we've talked about this a lot, I have no clue exactly what he's going to be, but I have faith he is going to be at least good, probably better, maybe a lot better. He has just a lot of talent, and everybody seems to trust the work that he puts in. So I'm trusting it too. I'm high on Jaylen Brown right now. He still doesn't always know what he's doing on an NBA basketball court, but one day that kid's going to be the real deal. So it would take a lot. If I were the Celtics front office, it would take a lot for me to give up Jaylen Brown. It would have to be for one of those top guys, because I think at some point Jaylen Brown will be a starting caliber player and maybe better than that.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind is the Celtics, we feel like they're going in a certain direction, but they could very easily break off this level of rebuild and go into the rebuild behind youth direction, which would include Jaylen Brown, which would include probably Rozier, and making the pick that we get from the Brooklyn Nets, which is still going to be a bad team, even though they were a little surprising. They're still not going to be a good team. And
what are they, 4-9 now?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to start fading a little bit. Let's hit a little burst out of the gates. That's all nice, all well and good. They're not going to be that forever. So they very well could go with the youth movement, and that's not impossible to think that they would do that. Maybe in a couple of years they switch gears and they start trading. Maybe they actually end up trading Horford. Maybe they actually start trading, you know, other guys like Tom. Who knows? Because again, this new collective bargaining agreement could just change everything. And it's an unforeseen circumstance, and they'll have to adjust, but the possibility exists. No one wants that to happen, really. What we want is for the Celtics to start making either a trade or a signing and continue building on this momentum. But Jaylen Brown could very well be the centerpiece of the next Celtics contender. So obviously, you trade him for a great, great, great player, but you don't just throw him in. He's not that type of player. And of course,
I love how NBA, like the swings in franchise building can be so severe that right now the Celtics have two guys who are 30 and everyone else is under 30. They just signed Al Horford. They've got young guys like Isaiah Thomas, who's an all-star, Jay Crowder, who's close to it when healthy, Avery Bradley, who's getting closer to it, and we're like, yeah, you know what? Screw all those guys. Jaylen Brown might be the centerpiece, and it's true, but it's just crazy how much can change in a quick time. So
that's really, yeah, absolutely.
That's my insight. It wasn't a huge insight there.
No, but that's, you know, it's little things. Or not necessarily a little thing, but when Danny Ainge is putting his thing together, he's looking a few years down the road. But who saw this TV deal coming, and who saw this spike in revenue coming that far down the road? I know they have projections, but there's so many different ways it could go. There was a cap smoothing proposal. If that had been accepted, then we'd be in a different, completely different ballpark. And it might affect the collective bargaining agreement. And you know what? If Kevin Durant doesn't go to Golden State, then maybe we're not talking about this, because Kevin Durant going to Golden State is the impetus for a lot of these collective bargaining agreement proposals. And I will go.
That was a big word. That was a big word.
Impetus.
Yep. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Let's go back to another step. Draymond Green lifting his leg and kicking players in the balls, and then Draymond Green going after LeBron and punching him in the nuts completely changes the course of history. This is the butterfly effect. Butterfly flaps its wings in Asia, and it creates a hurricane in the Atlantic. Like that, Draymond Green punches LeBron in the nuts. Golden State loses game five, blows a 3-1 lead. If they had won the championship, does Durant go to Golden State? I think the consensus is that no, he wouldn't go there. He would have stuck around, gone somewhere else, or stayed in Oklahoma City. He wouldn't have gone to just join a champion. He went to be the guy that brought them back to the championship. And then him going to Golden State creates this scenario where everybody's freaking out about super teams. So now let's create this collective bargaining agreement that's punitive and forces teams to make decisions in a completely different way and changes the cap hold structure and blah, 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 blah. And now here's Danny Ainge, who had set himself up nicely to get potentially a free agent, a max free agent, and still hold on to a key bench piece like Kelly Olynyk. Now he might have to lose Kelly Olynyk, which thins out your bench. And now here we are. Everything changes because Draymond Green went after LeBron's nuts. And that's just how things change. And now that could change the entire dynamic of the Celtics rebuild. And that's the NBA. That's sports. One thing happens, it starts a domino effect, and all of a sudden you're the GM of a team that's completely unrelated, and you go, oh, shit, now what? Luckily, he's got another option. Some GMs don't put themselves in a position to have other options.
The Celtics do have a lot of options. We've got a question here from @PlanetJared about another potential option. Utah is floundering. At what point do the Celtics try to acquire Gordon Hayward with expiring contracts, future non-Brooklyn picks? I mean, okay. Gordon Hayward, why are you – if Utah is floundering and you think they're not going to be great and they could be mediocre all year, why go out and trade for Gordon Hayward? Gordon Hayward is going to be a free agent, unrestricted, at the end of this season. I don't get the idea of trading assets. If he has such a great relationship with Brad Stevens, and it seems like they're very tight, it seems like they really do like each other after both being at Butler, obviously. If he has that much respect for Brad Stevens and he would consider leaving Utah at the end of this season, just wait for it. Wait for it. Sign him in the summer. Add him to the mix, and then keep all the picks, and then you got something. I mean, if you add a wing scorer and a wing playmaker with 6'8" size to what the Celtics already have, and then Jaylen Brown starts to develop, and you get a new Brooklyn Nets pick, then you're starting to look closer and closer to contention.
Well, here's the – go ahead. Finish your point.
Right now – Celtics, they need another scorer, right? They need more size on the wing. Gordon Hayward would be both of those things. Gordon Hayward is a nice. So, yeah, Gordon Hayward would be a great piece for the Celtics. I mean, maybe if you can trade for him without giving up too much, you consider it prior to the trade deadline. Otherwise, just like Al Horford. Al Horford was out there. The Atlanta Hawks were making him available last season. There was a lot of rumors about them willing to break up their core at the trade deadline last season. Nobody swung, nobody bit, and the Celtics ended up with Horford without having to give up anything. So remember that, and know that Gordon Hayward will be unrestricted, and the Celtics will be able to clear enough cap space one way or another to go after him.
All right, so that's that. Hey, a reminder, everybody, we are part of the Locked On Network. It is a large network with shows for all of the NBA and all of the NFL. So if you are listening and you are a fan of a particular NFL team, be it the Patriots or somebody else, we have a Locked On podcast for you there. We also have Locked On podcasts, obviously Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy that I mentioned. great if you want to get an overview of the league or if you want to get some help with your fantasy team. Those are two great shows to check out. Or if you want to check out our opponents, we've got the Nets and the Spurs coming up. And there's Locked On Nets, Locked On Spurs. My buddy Jeff Garcia does Locked On Spurs. So you want to check out the opponents every once in a while, do that. And, of course, be sure to subscribe to us on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. So, and check out the entire Locked On Podcast Network. Okay, back to the Twitter questions. At Hey Ain't You That Guy. You guys, I love Twitter names, man. Hey Ain't You That Guy. Why does it seem as if we're not playing as hard as we were last year?
I think part of it was just the health issues, and guys were not there at the beginning. Horford, Crowder, Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk have all missed legitimate time. And then I think part of it is the defense just isn't as good, and it's not a question of playing hard. It's just that instead of having Evan Turner, who did a lot of things for the defense, you now have Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, who are kind of learning how to impact things. And instead of having Jared Sullinger, who gobbled up rebounds for at least when, especially when Horford was out, you had a lot of guys who weren't very physical, could get beaten to rebounds by stronger, more athletic players. So I think there are a lot of things that have gone into the idea that the Celtics haven't played as hard, but I think they are playing just as hard. And there were a lot of, I thought, especially on Twitter, there was a lot of complaints about the Celtics, their effort. And then I think I saw Adam Himmelsbach tweeted something about the body language, and I was with him on that. Like, their body language looked really bad, but then they, you know, they don't allow a point for the next 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and it's one of those things where if you're giving up a lot of points, your body language looks bad because you're pissed. And I think if you remember last year, I think it was like the Memphis Grizzlies game. The Celtics, they were like under 500 at this point. It was like 30 games into the season. And after a key play in the final minute, I think Marcus Smart made a bad foul when he shouldn't have fouled, and he sent someone to the line. He made an intentional foul when they didn't need one. And I'm telling you, like five guys just ripped him apart, started screaming at him. He was screaming back. So when things go bad, it's an emotional team. It's a competitive team. They can react like that. So I'm not sure it's anything about their effort level. I think there are a lot of things going on. I don't think effort is something you really have to worry about with this group. I do think there are other issues that they need to shore up.
Yeah, I think some of it is our perception, because we remember last season fondly, and that is the team that was always scrappy and blah, blah, blah. Like, in our mind, we always, it's just natural. It's human nature. We romanticize the past. We forget about the bad things, and we remember the good. This is why people stupidly get back together with exes after bad breakups, because after a while, you forget about why you broke up, and then you go, huh, I wonder how she's doing. Oh, wait, I forgot. I hate her. We forget about the bad things. We forget about all the times last season, and there were plenty where they looked
and they
terrible.
Lost to the Lakers and
remember
the Nets,
them
and
playing
the Nets
down
again.
To the competition. We lost, right? We lost to the Nets. We lost to the Lakers. There were plenty of bad games last year. There were plenty of lulls, but we remember them for the big run that they made after the David Lee thing happened and he went away. We remember the positives, and we forget the negatives. Look, the Celtics are kind of going through the same thing for different reasons, injuries. They're poised to start making a run, and we'll forget about the bad times, and we'll remember the good. So that I think it's a lot to do with perception. Okay. At FR Jason 82, do you feel like Bradley is struggling to find his place in the O now that everyone is healthy? Seems to have reverted to long twos.
Let's give it a little time. It was just two games.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll give this. Let's let this one breathe a little bit. Give them a few more games with everybody back and see what happens. I think ultimately playing with Al Horford will help him. Playing with more talented guys will help him. So I'm not at all worried about Avery Bradley and his fit with Horford at all. I'm not worried about anybody's fit with Horford. That dude can play with anyone.
Speaking of which, at Green Max, now back to full strength. How can the Celtics improve non-Horford lineups on the court? We talked a little bit about it last night. Brad Stevens is kind of staggering Horford and Isaiah Thomas, trying to find a way to get two all-stars on the floor, or at least one on the floor at different times. I think there's some of that. And what were you going to say? You seemed like you had an answer.
I was just going to say, I was really intrigued by the way he played with the bench lineup in the fourth quarter, because they just ran the offense through him. They got a lot of open three-pointers, and he was such a difference maker defensively, and he and Jonas Jerebko, when they're both in the front court, can just slide their feet so well that when Jaylen Brown is out there, he's another big guy who can switch screens. And so there's a lot of potential, I think, with the Horford plus bench lineup. I would be surprised if Stevens doesn't go to that some more. As you said, he's staggering those guys.
I wouldn't be surprised. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if you see like him and Bradley. I think he and Bradley are going to be playing a lot together, and that's going to be kind of like, it's going to be him and Bradley in the bench, and I think that's going to be the two starters, and you'll see like Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder together a lot, and then you'll have like the mashup of the IT and D lineup. So you'll have Isaiah and Al playing together plenty, but I think if we're pairing guys together, it'll be Horford and Avery Bradley along with Rozier and Jerebko, and then whomever else Brad Stevens slides in there, maybe Smart or maybe somebody else.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think Horford playing with the bench would be a big help. And then I think, as I've said probably a lot of times, I think as the season progresses, you know, Terry Rozier is going to get more and more comfortable. Jaylen Brown is going to start to learn more and more about the NBA game. And so the bench will just kind of naturally progress. And I don't know how long that will take. I don't know how much better that those groups will get. But those guys will both learn. Kelly Olynyk will get healthier. He'll start to play better. He will revert to what he's been the last 2 years, which is a really helpful basketball player. So I'm not too worried about the bench. I think once everything gets back to, as things progress, they'll start to figure it out more and more. And I think having an all-star, whether it's Thomas or Horford, with that group is hugely beneficial. And I think now that they're healthy, you'll see Stevens stick with that and try to see if he can charge those bench lineups a little bit.
All right, two more questions here. We're going to start having a little bit of fun. At Aw Celtics fan, this is a great one. How many of the current Celtics could Brad Stevens have technically fathered going by age? Okay. It's very simple. First, we got to set the ground rule here. So okay. Brad Stevens is 40 years old. Okay?
Allegedly.
I mean, he may drink vampire blood. Maybe he's older and he looks really young, or maybe he's young and he pretends to be old. But let's work with the theory that his age is legitimate and he just turned 40.
See, I don't know if I can work with that theory. I'm not sure if I believe in that theory.
With what we have.
I think Amir Johnson could have fathered Brad Stevens.
Amir does look like he's old.
And you can't tell me otherwise. So. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to work the data that's available here. So,
see, I can't do that. I don't believe in the data.
So what do you think? He's like 26?
This is a flawed exercise from the start.
Jesus Christ. You got to make everything difficult. So Brad Stevens is 40 years old. according to his birth certificate, which, now that Donald Trump's president, maybe we can start questioning everybody's birth certificate. Minor, don't tweet me, don't at me. It was just the joke, okay? Don't at me on that. Jesus. Okay, Brad's 40. Now.
Allegedly.
So, when we say legitimately fathered, okay, technically, you can do it at like 13 once you hit puberty or whatever it is. So, but let's find an age where, I mean, I'm thinking it's like 16 years old. You got yourself a car and you impress somebody and you make a mistake in the back seat or something like that. Okay.
Jesus.
Can we work?
Jesus. Where is this podcast going? Okay. So,
hey, people ask, we answer. So are we working with Brad Stevens having technically started to father future Celtics at 16, or are we looking at maybe 18, or are we looking at something else? What's the cutoff age?
See, I think you're getting too technical with this. I'm going to go with Jalen Brown, Demetrius Jackson, Jordan Mickey, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, James Young, and that's it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He could have fathered six of the Celtics. But also Amir Johnson could have fathered him.
Sure, of course, because Amir Johnson isn't really 29. He's really 49.
At least.
See, now, if Brad was 16, that's 24 years. So, really, anybody that's 24 or younger on the team. So,
yeah, so all the guys I just
all the said. Guys you mentioned.
Boom.
Very simple. We agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got this.
With Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk being on the cusp. So really, the only people on this team, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on this team that he legitimately could not have fathered. Everyone else is somewhere in the range of high school mistake to like college mistake, somewhere in that range. So we got a young roster because we got a really young coach. So all right.
There
thanks.
You go. This is the talk you can only get on the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jay.
Look, man, we're taking 4 days off here, you know, 5 days off. We got to give people something to chew on mentally as they want. This is almost like two different podcasts. We got to give them a little something fun, a little something serious, you know, these brain teasers like this. All right. Last question. Last question comes from our very own Sam Jam Packard. And it's directed squarely at you, Jay King. How does it feel to be an international dance sensation? Hashtag do the Zaza. Hashtag Twitter Gino. Yes! Twitter Gino! Twitter Gino! Twitter Gino!
I'm not sure people need more Jay King dancing.
No, they don't know that they need it, but they need it.
There were a lot of people very outspoken against my Zaza dance. So I'm not convinced I am an international dance star. I'm not convinced. I'm just trying to stay humble in my new life as Twitter Gino.
I love it. I don't know why you recorded that thing, but we're running with it. And I turned it into an animated GIF, which is on my Twitter at @RedsArmy_John.
Appreciate that. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you do. It's not just 9 seconds. It's just looped for eternity. So feel free to tweet it out. I put a link there for you to go ahead and grab it, save it, tweet it out at your heart's content. Don't ruin it because we're already like, we want to do this the right way. Don't like tweet it out for everything. This is like for special occasions. This is for wins. When the Celtics are up 20 with 8 minutes to go or 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter against the Nets, tweet that sucker out. You know, he's Twitter Gino. So don't worry, Jeff. We'll make you into an international megastar. There'll be people. That sucker will be out there still animating 300 years from now, and you'll be in some archaeological site with people theorizing what you were so dancy about.
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. I can tell that's what's destined in my life.
Okay, I think that's a very nice place to end this show. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. As always, hashtag Rain and Jays. Send them along whenever you want. We'll try to get to them when we can. We always appreciate your participation, and we will see you in 5 days. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. For those of you in the U.S. who are celebrating, just chill out. Enjoy a nice couple of games with the Celtics. Enjoy your family. Or if you hate your family, enjoy your friends. Or just enjoy eating some turkey by yourself in your house. Whatever it is, we hope you're doing it with a smile on your face. And we hope that we've been able to contribute. Remember, subscribe to us on all platforms. Rate us 5 stars. Because after this show, how could you not rate us 5 stars? Please participate in future shows with on Twitter and all of that stuff. Before we go, I'm going to leave you with my radio hit, as if you don't want more. Here's me on the Pulse in Maine, in Bangor, the downtown show with Rich Kimble, talking a little bit of Celtics, talking about Al Horford and Marcus Smart taking a leadership role. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Time to talk Celtics as we hop on board the G&M Family Market phone line and connect with our Celtics insider from the Locked On Celtics podcast and RedsArmy.com, John Corrales with us. John, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks. I'm just wondering, because I'm confused, who were those guys wearing Celtics uniforms in the fourth quarter last night?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. They can look so good and so bad in the same game. I just don't know what's going on with them sometimes. When they decide to play and play hard and play the right way, they can do okay. But there was a long stretch in the middle of that game where they just kind of went into a little bit of individual play. The ball didn't move very much. They weren't forcing turnovers or stops or rebounds, and they can look really bad when they do that.
Yeah, they did. They looked sloppy. They looked disorganized. And then that fourth quarter, yeah, I'm watching that thinking, if they could play like that on a regular basis, that's a heck of a team.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was a combination of things, because the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're young, they're athletic, but they're not really that great, and they made a lot of defensive mistakes. Now, that was partly because the Celtics forced them to by moving the ball, like I said. You move the ball from side to side on the court, you dribble, you get into the lane. You force a team like that, a young team, to start making decisions. And very often in that fourth quarter run, Minnesota made a lot of the wrong decisions, and the Celtics were able to capitalize to the tune of a 19-0 stretch. So it was nice that Minnesota complied with what the Celtics were doing, but the Celtics, they could have been doing that for most of the game, and instead of just kind of loafing around for a good stretch. But hey, at least they did it when it counted, and they got the win.
Absolutely. Al Horford does not seem any worse for wear.
No. He's really good. I think the plus-minus numbers so far, and this may include a little bit of the preseason, but the Celtics are a plus, I want to say, somewhere near plus 120 with him on the floor and a minus 70 with him off the floor. So I'd say he has a little bit of an impact. He does a little bit of everything. You could see that he rebounds. He blocks shots. He makes good plays, good passes, sets picks, knows how to read the defense. The Celtics are just flat out a better team with him on the floor.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys, I think, to me, the ultimate compliment in team sports is to say a guy makes the players around him better, and he seems like that kind of player.
Yeah, that's reflected in the plus-minus, because you could put him out there with just about everybody, and he's a plus. With no matter who the teammates are. And look, they made a run with Jarebko and Terry Rozier and Horford was on the floor for those guys. Isaiah Thomas was off. Jay Crowder was off. It was Horford was there helping to make those plays. He had that amazing sequence where he blocked a shot, came down, missed the three, got his own rebound, fought for the rebound, and then got the dunk. That was just Al Horford to a T, just perfect hustle, nice fundamental play, and then a little bit of athleticism, something spectacular. It's that play with him encapsulated. And you saw Terry Rozier. He had a nice run in the fourth quarter with Horford on the floor. Jarebko contributed with Horford on the floor. Those guys do well because Horford requires some attention. And if you decide for some reason, and Minnesota did a couple of times, not to pay attention to him, he'll just burn you himself. So Horford is a plus for everybody out there. And well, he's only been there for, five, six games now? So Brad Stevens is still figuring out what the best amount of minutes is, when to play him with Isaiah Thomas, when to play him without Isaiah Thomas, how to maximize those two guys. So it's still a work in progress. So we'll see some experimentation, but right now, it's basically Al Horford plus anybody else is a positive.
Jay Crowder, and he admits it's still not 100%, but seems to be getting more comfortable out there. But he's a ways off from being the Jay Crowder that we saw early in the year and last season.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because, they really rely on him to be impactful on both sides of the floor. Now, in the first half, he looked okay. And then he just kind of, he said his ankle's locked up, which is not something you want to hear from a guy coming back from the injury. But hopefully with this medical staff, which is really good, and the right treatment, and maybe the ability to rest, maybe you don't play him against Brooklyn tomorrow night. Maybe you just, hopefully you don't need him against Brooklyn tomorrow night. You can rest him, get him ready for Friday against San Antonio. That's going to be a much bigger challenge, obviously. You can't be more diametrically opposed going from the Nets to the Spurs. So I'd rather have maybe Crowder take a break, rehab a little bit more, rest, and get ready for the Spurs game. But the good news is that it's not, I don't think, going to be a long-term thing. He just needs a little bit more time to get back to himself, and then we can kind of go from there.
We're talking Celtics with John Corrales of the Locked On Celtics podcast and RedsArmy.com. Marcus Smart apparently at the end of the third quarter went off on his teammates a little bit. It seemed to have a good effect the way the fourth quarter went. But also, is that a good sign that he's thinking of himself more and more as a leader of this team?
Yeah, they've really looked at him as such for a long time. You even heard the rumblings in his rookie year that he had leadership qualities. Marcus Smart is not afraid. He will go up against anybody. He will challenge anybody. He'll challenge his own team. So that's the type of guy that you would look towards at a time like that when the Celtics were sluggish and not playing well, that he would rise up and get some of these guys to start playing better and giving more effort. Some guys, they'll lead by example. Al Horford is a leader on this team, but he's not a big vocal, emotional guy. He'll say some things, but the emotions are better left up to Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and Marcus Smart. And like I said, Marcus Smart, he'll get up in anybody's face. If he doesn't think that you're giving 100%, then he'll let you know. Because I'll tell you one thing, Marcus Smart is almost always giving 100% out there. He's the guy, you know who we always joke about, there's no such thing as 110%? I think Marcus Smart might be the exception to that rule. He might actually be able to find a way to give 110%. In the last win where he's diving over a player in Detroit to secure an offensive rebound and keep the play alive and nearly breaking his neck, that's the type of effort you get out of Marcus Smart. So when a guy does that and then comes up to you and says, hey, you better give a little bit more effort, you got no choice but to kind of listen to him.
And that effort is what we saw, especially on the defensive side of things last year, that made them such a tough team for people to play. The defense has not been great so far this season. But in that second half last night, I thought we saw a little throwback to the defense and the effort of last season. Is that a pretty good sign for them going forward?
Yeah. And I think that's when you think about defense, so much of defense is effort. Now, of course, you can have effort and be in the wrong places, and that's some of the stuff that the Celtics are trying to work on. They still do need to get some of that continuity, and without a Jay Crowder that's 100%, he's not going to be able to get to some of the spots that he could normally get to. So there's still a work in progress. It's getting better. It's getting better, and it's positive signs. And the Celtics are going to embark on a little bit of a stretch with some subpar competition, the Spurs excluded from that. But they have an opportunity to get their defensive statistics back in line with some of our expectations. And I think against some lesser competition, maybe they might be able to work on some things and tighten up some of their rotations. But it's mostly about that effort. And if everybody can kind of get on the same page, and I think if some of these nagging injuries go away, then we can start to see the team that we expected.
Now, I saw an interesting statistical analysis. I think it was Chris Forsberg of ESPN that did it. Is it possible that Kelly Olynyk is a better player with the man bun?
Well, you know, let's dive into that. Maybe he is. Maybe that hair flowing is annoying and it just doesn't work very well for him. I don't know what he just cut the stuff off, man, but he doesn't want to. I think one of these days maybe Kelly will surprise us with some sort of new hairstyle. I kind of hope he does. He's Canadian. He's got that hockey influence. It's kind of like hockey hair. So, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. I just want Kelly Olynyk to play better. Honestly, I want him to be a little more aggressive. If the man bun gets him to be more aggressive, if it's pigtails, do pigtails. Do cornrows. Do braids. Do whatever you need to do to your hair, Kelly Olynyk, to go out there and play consistently and aggressively.
Whatever it takes. I like that a lot. John Corrales, RedsArmy.com, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, as always, great talking with you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Thanks. Same to you and everybody who's listening.
That's John Corrales, talking Celtics every Tuesday here on Downtown. It's 28 minutes after 4 o'clock. Downtown presented every afternoon by Gagan's Pub and Craft Brewery, Main Street in downtown Bangor. They have been Bangor's Pub for more than 40 years. Great food with an Irish twist and American-style craft beers brewed right on site. And guests of Downtown are heard on the G&M Family Market phone line. They're on the corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden. Thanksgiving supplies, that's the place to go right there. Everything you need at G&M Family Market. Open right now and until 9 o'clock every single night on the corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden. Still to come on Downtown this afternoon, Maine football coach Joe Harris-Simiak wraps up the football season for the Black Bears and looks ahead a little bit to next year. Dennis Price with her entertainment report. We'll talk some SEC football with the big rivalry games coming up this weekend. And Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese with this week's Message in the Bottle, less than 15 minutes away, here on the Pulse AM 620 WZON.